Good evening. It's 7 p.m., June 10, 2025. I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Pledge of Allegiance led by Assemblymember Mock.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Robbins.
Here.
Mock.
Here.
Hodgson.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. Thank you. Ceremonial matters, there are none tonight. Persons to be heard. Did anyone sign up under persons to be heard?
We do not.
Okay, is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on any item on the agenda or any item? All right, seeing none. We'll move to amendments to the agenda, and I see the chief here, and with the assembly approval, I'd like to move item 13D up to the first item under new business. Is there any objection? Okay, 13D, I'll remind you. Any other amendments to the agenda? All right, hearing none. Conflict of interest. Does any assembly member have any conflict on any item? Okay, hearing none. Consent agenda. I need a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Addison to approve the agenda as submitted. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote please.
Assembly members, Mock.
Yes.
Addison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes, thank you. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to start off the Manager's Report tonight by having Kate introduce some guests here in town today that had a very productive meeting on the E911 emergency or the community addressing project funded by our SHSP grant. I know that's been a long desire of the community, and we've got some good progress in launching off with that. So, Kate.
Awesome. Thanks, Mason. Good evening, everybody. So as you know, we got a grant from the State Department of Homeland Security and solicited for professional services earlier this year, and we selected Datamark, and we have two consultants in town from Datamark, Annie Cahill and Greg Brooks, who met with stakeholders and staff all day today to kind of get an assessment of our current conditions. So I'm going to invite Annie up here to say a few words, talk a little bit about Datamark, the intent of the project, and the deliverables that we'll have at the end.
And please note, I dropped this on Annie like last minute, but I did want to give them the credit of being here, and she is a wonderful expert just in my short time meeting her, so thank you for being here.
I appreciate that.
Welcome. Thank you, Wrangell.
Thank you so much, Assembly members. I appreciate being invited here, and we've really been enjoying your beautiful community the last 2 days. For me personally, it's my first time in Alaska, and I'm so happy that Wrangell is my first place, my first visit to your beautiful state. So as Kate mentioned, my name is Annie Cahill, and I am a public safety technical consultant with Datamark Technologies. The primary focus of Datamark Technologies is to prepare communities for Next Generation 911. Next Generation 911 is a nationwide initiative that seeks to overhaul essentially the hardware, software, call-taking equipment for 911. And a lot of this involves GIS data, which is Geographic Information Systems data. And why is this overhaul needed? Well, I don't know how in tune you are with a lot of public safety events maybe outside of this area, but there are a lot of issues, especially on the East Coast, nationwide really in my experience, where we have calls that are misrouted, 911 calls that have failed transfer, or areas where people can't be found, and it's becoming a significant issue. And a lot of it is because the existing infrastructure nationwide is the same infrastructure that was established in 1968 when the first 911 call was made. So often we go into communities and we hear, why can't 911 find us? Why can Domino's Pizza and Uber find us? Because it's two different technologies. And that's the disconnect, that's the problem with this today. So what Next Generation 911 is seeking to do is to overhaul all of these things and really empower the locals to have more ability to control the routing of their 911 calls using GIS data, which is very different than what's done today, which is through a series of tables and databases that are owned by telephone companies. So it's a paradigm shift essentially in how we are routing 911 calls. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with addressing? So while our company does focus extensively on GIS data as it powers the routing of the 911 call, as a matter of fact, Next Generation 911 does not work without GIS data. I kind of live in the workflow part of things, which is how does the data get to what it looks like today? And so I often travel from place to place throughout the United States, and I talk to different people and understand and learn how they assign their addresses. How does that address move through the government enterprise? How does it finally get updated in the GIS? And then how does it get provisioned out into different systems, including CAD, 911 system, and other systems that might consume the GIS data? So this particular project is very much focused on the workflow, and I was very fortunate today to meet with several stakeholders, public safety, public works, planning and zoning, for example. So I got to talk with several people. GCI, is that right? Mm-hmm. GCI had really great conversations with everyone who showed up today to kind of tell me how the current state of the addressing within the city has impacted their ability to provide service. And so we really focused on those conversations today. So what are the outcomes of this project? First and foremost, it's information gathering for me. So my intention is to draft a document that's going to summarize the conversations that I'm having today and tomorrow and whenever else you guys present me with information. We're also assessing the existing GIS data that we have. So we're taking a look at that and we're comparing it to the NENA requirements. NENA is the National Emergency Number Association, and they are the overarching nationwide agency that says, here's what the data needs to look like in order to be able to route a 911 call in Next Generation 911. So we're taking the data and we're making sure that it meets those standards. So we're doing what's called a gap analysis. Essentially, we're going to be informing you guys of where the data falls short against those standards. And then I'm going to be making a set of recommendations. And those recommendations are centered around education and training, the addressing workflow, GIS data management, and public safety workflows. So those are the main areas. From there, we are going to draft an addressing plan. So this is kind of my manual for how I would like you all, and it would be in conjunction, because this is actually your plan, not mine. So it's going to be in conjunction with you about how we want to see that address assignment move forward in the future, right? So when you have development and all of these different projects that you have going on, you can assign addresses and rest assured that they are done with the best practices for 911 in mind, so that we have a solid, logical, and consistent numbering system for public safety. Because although we love mail, we love Amazon, we like pizza delivery, we like all of these things, the main purpose of having an address is for public safety. That's why we have addressing. So, and I think that having a more accurate and complete addressing scenario within the town will really help improve all of these other initiatives that you all are trying to do. So I think solid addressing is really the foundation of a lot of your projects that you have. In addition to that, we are also going to be providing draft ordinances for your review and approval that we're obviously going to work with you on, and you can edit those and add and delete whatever we like, whatever we don't like, and then also a set of SOPs, including a distribution plan for how addresses get communicated out to different agencies, including internal stakeholders, as well as how would you communicate that with the citizens. And I know that was a lot of information, but I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
It's wonderful because you're tying 911 to the address, and we were just thrilled to get an address and not have the lower 48 tell us no one lives, that address does not exist.
Sure.
And, well, yes, it does. I'm sitting in my home
right.
at that address. And but attaching the 911 to it, the quick response is great.
Right, and we did learn today that the addressing situation here currently does impact every point of service that the city offers, and as well as being a challenge for the people who live here and do business here. So we're really, really looking forward to working with you all on that project.
It's so bad that I don't even live in my own house. I live in the Schultz house. They're the ones who built my house, even though I've lived there since 95. So that's how we use 911, you know, send someone quick to the old Schultz house. You know?
Sure, sure.
So, this is very much appreciated, and it's a wonderful improvement for the community. A wonderful improvement. Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Does your system interact with the census? Bureau, you know, when they do their census and their use of their addressing, because that's where I really run into a total, whatever they have is not tied to anything in reality.
I understand.
Would this replace that or integrate with that?
So I actually, I know what you're talking about, because when I was in local government, I live in Virginia, I was in local government for 15 years, and I had to work on that project as well. I would always dread when that would come around. So what this will do is it will actually allow you to update their information. So you will be able to provide them with a comprehensive list of addressing. Once those are assigned, you all will be able to provide them with that comprehensive database of addressing information, which I'm sure they will really appreciate, because it just makes it easier for their enumerators to do their jobs as well.
Any other questions? This is a good forward movement for Wrangell.
Just really appreciate Annie for the talking tonight, because I did drop that on her last minute. I appreciate
it's my pleasure.
Your colleague in the back there. I do. And I think this is going to give us a good platform and from a public safety perspective, but also to integrate with our other GIS operations. We talked about utilities today. We talked about all the financial services and billing today. And how that might improve as a result of this. It's a lot easier to have a call out for public works instead of saying, you know, 5.1 mile
right.
To say, you know, 1500 Zemovia Highway. Because eventually this town is going to grow into where we're looking across the table and we don't know each other. It's already kind of happening to some extent. So the familiarity is getting diminished.
And you're working with our first responders.
Yes, ma'am.
And will they have to update equipment?
Equipment probably eventually.
Yeah.
And every locality where I've visited across the United States, they're in different phases of deployment. So it really the challenge, the heaviest lift is always in the GIS data, because we're being challenged to use GIS in a way that it's never had to be used before, with a level of accuracy and completeness that it's never had to have before. GIS originated as a land management tool for planning way back in the 80s. And so it's never had to route a 911 call before. And I think that for the benefit of the assembly, GIS is so much more than just maps. It actually is a valuable tool that you can use to make decisions about your community and analyze different problems that you may have. It's a really great problem-solving tool, but it only works as far as you have the data. So addresses and roads are just the first step. That's just the foundation. There are so many more other things that we discussed today, having utilities data, building out different data sets that can be used across the enterprise that you can also use to assist you on different projects that you'll have going on in the city.
Well, for instance, out the road, the old logging roads, if anyone needed assistance, would you be able to pinpoint them?
We can
get that established.
We can, can't do things to improve wayfinding. Unfortunately, within a lot of communities where you have no cellular reception, that challenge will remain until that is initially addressed, okay?
Yeah, but that was my next question.
Sure. So there is that challenge that will still remain, but there's kind of two pieces to this. There's routing the call into the correct 911 center, which will use the GIS data, but then there's also the response aspect. And where we can get improved wayfinding by posting the correct addresses once they're assigned, by putting up different types of markers on these different roads and areas, it will improve wayfinding for our first responders. So there's kind of the two, there's the part before the call comes into the center and then the after. And I think that's both of those are going to be critical to the success of next-gen deployment across the United States.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Any
you
Any other
all.
Questions?
Okay.
Thank you
so
all.
Much.
Thank
really
you so much
update.
For your time.
Take off if you haven't got dinner. Don't feel bad about leaving.
Okay.
It happens all the time.
Thank you all.
Too burning. Too burning. Okay. I'm going to get my report done quick tonight, and I appreciate all the good work that's going across the borough. It's a very, very busy time as we close out the budget cycle. The last week we've had a lot of complexities with the water treatment plant. Nothing we haven't been able to solve at the moment, but in terms of water chemistry, it has created some issues, it hasn't influenced water quality in any way, but for our ability to process water abundantly. So we've been working with manufacturer AWC, our CNA and CNI, Dowell, and the McGraw group to be able to address those issues. And we're actually going to bring the whole team out on site on June 23rd to be able to address some of these water chemistry issues. And I'll kind of use layman's terms. Because when I sit through those long meetings on water chemistry and all the coagulants, it gets really confusing really quick. And so I have a lot of admiration for Andrew Scambler and Tom and Wade Jack and all the folks that are participating in those meetings. It's a lot. But what I will say is right now, the water chemistry is such that we're not creating enough flock in the new treatment plant that's being skimmed off the top. That's created an excess turbidity, which is clogging our filters and triggering them to discharge more frequently. Initially, when we were running the plant, it was discharging once a day. We had as much as 12 times on Sunday, which is a lot of water loss. We've still been able to meet the demand when we run the plant hard, but we want to be as efficient as possible. So in terms of long-term sustainability, we're still working on it. This is very normal in the commissioning of a new treatment plant like this, but we do want to get ahead of it. And so I think that the team's done a good job of advocating for what their needs are, and we're moving forward in advance of a very busy water consumption time frame.
Especially with all the rain we've had recently.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That complicated thing.
So thank you to Andrew Scambler, Wade Jack, Tom Weeder for heading up that effort. Also on the water treatment plant, construction activities continue even though we've reached substantial completion. They are paving the concrete in between the old plant and the new plant right now, as well as the stormwater infrastructure. The generator has been set in place for backup generation at the water treatment plant. And then also KRM's finishing up final grading work. So all that's taking place. We are on diesel power right now. This is just a reminder to folks, the diesel run is slated from today up to June 18th. They try to get the maintenance activities done before the last day of the announcement, but be cognizant of your consumption because you will be billed prorated based on your consumption for this period. That was a choice of the assembly in prior years to be able to give people the chance to shave off some of their bill by monitoring their consumption during this diesel run, because we do charge out the cost of fuel and oil burn during this time frame.
And it'll be a true fuel surcharge.
Correct.
From the day we start on diesel to the day we end. So
correct.
People can really conserve energy and save money.
And the beauty about having the AMI metering system is that Sherry's able to come in an hour early to work, start the metering system before we start running the generators, or right at the second that we do, and then shut it off as soon as we're done running them, so we get a really accurate real-time data on how to deal with that, and that's been the hindrance in the past. So thank you to the folks at Light and Power for a smooth diesel run so far. I don't want to jinx that. And a little bit, obviously we had the biggest cruise ship in town that we'll experience for the summer 25 season. Got some good feedback from folks. I was out and about. I know that many of the city staff was too in observing that. One thing that we found out today is when there's the movement of the gangways and they're stalling a lot of people from getting off, there's a pretty heavy push from some of those larger ships. And so there maybe needs some traffic control under those circumstances. But I would just like to remind folks that We had a 2,900 passenger count today off the Ruby Princess. The next highest for this season we've already encountered, which was 2,300 off of the Grand Princess. And those are the highest ships we even consider, you know. And I think we can mitigate these circumstances to make the best of circumstances. And I've seen a lot of shopping bags going around town. The grocery stores were packed when I went and grabbed my sandwich for lunch. And I think it's a good thing, and we've heard that from our retail sector of the economy. So, you know, if you're not pro-tourism, bear with us through those days. But they are transcending into tax dollars for this community to sustain itself. And I would just remind folks of, we're trying to, you know, raise the tide across all sectors of our economy, and this is just one of the levers we're pulling in the meantime. So,
and support ports and harbor.
Yep, correct. Some really good news from a grants perspective and what we got coming down the line. Obviously, all the federal delegation, CDS and CPV or CPF funding, that's congressionally directed spending and community project funding. They call CPF on the House side and CDS on the Senate side, just to make it super complicated for us all to track. But the public safety building is moving forward on the Senate side through Senator Murkowski for $6.5 million. And oddly enough, she's doing that after Representative Bagnich has put forward $2.5 million for the same public safety building project on the House side. So that combines to $9 million. That's moving positively. We're confident in our $10 million wastewater treatment plant CDS request. My understanding is that's moving forward. We received a lot of questions around our mill property, resurfacing and utility project for $7.5 million. You sum all that up, you're at $26.5 million of opportunity flowing through the federal delegation. That's a darn good year. It's very uncharacteristic to have more than one CDS for a community. Most communities cross their fingers that they just get one, and good old Wrangell's taking the cake on federal interaction. So I appreciate our representative and senators very much for their advocacy of our community's needs. And we'll continue to keep brief the assembly on that updates and on that process. And you know that process goes all the way into the fall. We'll find out hopefully in September, by September 30th, but they chose not to fund any appropriations last year. The one big beautiful bill, slated, they want to push it through by July 4th. We'll see if that happens, but we'll know more as time goes on. So, SHSP, we had a 2021 SHSP grant through the Department of Homeland Security for our Nolan Center backup generator upgrades. Lots of projects going on, obviously. We weren't able to get that done right away, so we kind of brainstormed with the granting agency to let us rescope the grant towards some of our other generator overhauls at Light and Power to take advantage of the grant funding. They're going to let us do that by the sounds of it. That's $339,000 that we would otherwise deobligate. So that's huge. McKinnon Utilities, just informed from the state this morning, me and Amber were informed that they're going to fund all the water sewer utilities with complete loan forgiveness on McKinnon Street. So that's the road we surveyed up next after St. Michael's, which bids on Friday, and we will know what the cost is and be allocating those funds in the FY26 budget. So that's you know, well above $600,000 in free money from the state for utility upgrades. So a really good week just in terms of grant funding and what we can expect to accomplish reasonably in the next period. City Park Pavilion is going to start this week. The high school elevator started today. You know, let's celebrate that one, Bob. It's been 4 years.
I'm going to ride it.
Yeah. There it is. We told ourselves we're going to start celebrating these things that have taken decades to accomplish in some cases, and that's been a big one for whatever reason, but I do thank the Capital Projects Department for starting that project. As I said, St. Michael's bids on Friday. I'll communicate to the Assembly in my FY Friday what that comes in at. And lots of other projects on in the queue. Obviously, we're pursuing the waterfront development project, hot and heavy. One of the budget amendments for tonight is for conceptual design, cost estimates to make some decision makers with pertinent stakeholders, including the barge lines, Trident, and ACL, as we come to start making a deal with some of these folks. And on the data center front, we've met with GreenSpark multiple times over the last couple of weeks. I know that Philip, Assemblymember Mock, has participated in some of those discussions. We've got a few roadblocks that we're trying to cover off on. We've got some more details just today from a fiber perspective on what we can accommodate here on island. Water utilities stop at Carol Rushmore's house. If we're addressing folks come to get the plan drafted, we'll have an address for Carol Rushmore's house. But there is a 2-inch service line that goes all the way to the front of the mill property from back in the mill days that has an opportunity to tap that 2-inch service to get water to the mill property. There's other alternatives to that, but you need water to cool the servers at a data center. We have determined from our perspective that mill property makes the most sense, the northeastern corner of the mill property. It's on its own circuit. Back in the day when the mill was running, there used to be a transformer right in the SEPA substation yard. The lines, there's two power lines all strung all the way across the street and to the mill property from the SEPA substation, ready to go. They're disconnected right now, but they could accommodate up to 5.6 megawatts. Not that we're going to start there, but we're going to start at designing a 2-megawatt project in conjunction with GreenSpark. So for the folks that don't think this is a real opportunity, it very much is, and we will continue to pursue it aggressively to further diversify our economy. Kim and I have created a land tracker for the assembly. That's something that we'll continue to publish in those, or we will start to publish in the FYI Friday emails, just because there are so many land sales and land leases and tideland leases and transactions occurring. I'd just like to thank Kate, because this is probably the highest volume we've seen at one time. And while everybody wants to see Kate focus on the economic development and forward momentum, we've still got to take care of our daily tasks, and that's very much so. So I appreciate balancing all those transactions, and to Kim and the finance staff as well, all who are involved. The FY26 budget will come to the Assembly on June 24th. It should be a fairly light meeting overall, but we'll focus on the budget. One significant change, aside from what we've described, what you've requested in the previous budget work session, is the public safety building design. Amber and I would like to fund the $500,000 in design work in advance of receiving any state or federal money, because regardless, we want to do a project starting in summer of 26. The building obviously can't be pushed off any further, so whether we get any federal grant funds or we get all $9 million, we're going to pursue a project, and we're going to design it such that we can do work regardless. So I think it's in our best interest. We demonstrate healthy enough general fund reserves to do that, but that's one of those projects we're not going to kick down the road anymore. So hopefully that's of the Assembly's appetite. Staff met on yesterday to discuss the cruise ships that are going to be in town on the 3rd and the 4th. It's not normal for us to have cruise ships lightering in during that time frame, but there is more volume coming in during those days. No cruise ships will be tied up to City Dock on the 3rd and the 4th, but we have played out all the scenarios in terms of shuttling folks to town and utilizing the ferry terminal space to alleviate any congestion. We've talked about advertising bathroom space. We've talked about posting where all the vendors will be. We talked about the 5th cleanup and the cleanup of the sand after the fireworks and how everything's going to go. So you might see some good PR from the city coming, forthcoming to the public on what to expect. We're trying to get out in front of any rumor mill flying out that outsiders are taking over our birthright to the 4th. We are still going to very much enjoy our 4th of July, but just want to give you guys some good details on what's to come. So that's all I'm going to say for tonight, unless assembly members have any specific questions. I could go all night long with what we got going on.
Tell the public we had a workshop concerning the Marine Service Center. Do you want to?
Yeah, in the event that the public's not enjoying the nicest day of the evening and listening to this, we did have a good work session today to discuss the Marine Service Center discussion of an ordinance that would raise the cap to 50,000. We backed away from that and had a discussion on Marine Service Center operations, what's it look like in terms of a sub-enterprise fund, in terms of health. We, I think, have decided, and I'll get direction under assembly business for sure, that we're going to tackle the rate structure of the Marine Service Center as opposed to impacting any implications related to the tax cap specific to the Marine Service Center. And we might play the wait-and-see game on the cap across the borough, which is now 5,000 after the last ordinance passed the last assembly meeting. And continue to find ways to grow organically, but again, we want to expand our economy in all sectors, whether that be the healthcare sector. Well, ideally, like to reduce the government sector on our side a little bit and to the most efficient way possible. But there are other governmental agencies we'd like to see to come to town, the commercial fishing and seafood processing industry, the visitor industry, all of them.
we want to see it all go. So there's some that are easier than others right now, but we're going to make no mistake about it. We're taking a comprehensive approach to economic growth here in Wrangell.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? And also we have Wrangell Visitor Industry Report. Did you want to speak to that?
Sure, I can say a few words.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. So attached to the manager's report, you'll have the Oregon State University resident sentiment around tourism, which was an academic study that was conducted through November, December, and January. And that report was furnished to us a couple of weeks ago. Basically just gives Wrangell's place on the continuum of positive to negative sentiments around tourism. And we are sitting in a very positive position overall. And there are mechanisms that we can deploy through Oregon State University to circle back around and do a temperature check on the community as we see an upward trajectory on cruise passenger counts year over year for the next couple of years. So very pleased with that. I would encourage everybody to review it, see where Wrangell lands on the continuum, and then let that help guide some of your decision-making at the assembly level, but also it gives you sort of an arsenal or suitcase of information to be able to share with the public if there are concerns. And then the economic visitor report was facilitated through Rain Coast Data, and we've been working with them for a number of years, so they're very familiar with Wrangell's visitor economy. So last year, $5.9 million in visitor spending overall. There were over 2,000 bookings in our hotel rooms. So last year, we would have had somewhere around 70 beds available to visitors. Good news is this year we have 101.
And I said 96 the last meeting, so I was probably right, and I got made to be a fool. So I just want to point that out.
You can.
It's nice to prove ourselves right from time to time. So, you know, the increased heads and beds is a really positive thing to help us attract larger size conventions and events in the shoulder season. So it makes us attractive in that regard. 74% increase in tourism from 24 to 26. So seeing a considerable jump there, but hopefully that increases our tax revenue and increases our coffers and our port infrastructure. And then generally speaking, the business climate or business sentiment is 89% positive outlook going forward. So seeing some capital growth in our operators here locally, which is a positive thing. And the visitor industry makes up for 10% of our annualized jobs available here in Wrangell, which when you're only employing folks generally for 120 days, if that equates to 10% of our annualized jobs, that adds up. That means something significant. So, and then of that 10%, 6% of overall earnings income for the community is accounted for at the visitor industry level. So I think it's important for everyone to see those comparisons, to understand the history of tourism. I mean, we're down to 1% of our visitors come in through the Alaska Marine Highway System, compared to 20-something percent, you know, in the early 2000s before we saw a downturn in that service through the state. And I don't see it coming back to the levels that it once was. So we have limitations in our ability to grow tourism, but we're certainly striving towards that. And with more heads and beds, we can certainly start pushing different angles to bring in shoulder season events and convention center. And I did speak to our Nolan Center today, and I think it's just important to understand the asset that we have at the Nolan Center. But I did check in with a couple of folks today, and Jeannie Arnold reported that they had a very successful day, a good chip profile, and they weren't the hugest spenders in the gift shop, but they made hand over fist money with museum admissions, and Jeannie was pleased to report that the center can handle crowds of that size very well. So it's just a great asset for visitors, but also for us to host larger events there on a local level and at a business level.
That's good to know.
And if you haven't, if you don't know what Kate's talking about because you didn't get a chance to read the report, it looks like this in your packet. Definitely encourage you guys all to read it. This is something that we do nearly every couple of years.
Yeah.
I think that we've done it. And it speaks to the broader economy within that. And I love the way it splits out the pie chart in the community so we can compare. Yeah. And I think I just want to comment a little bit further on kind of rebunking the notion that we're selling out the town, we're going to become a Skagway, or we're going to become a Ketchikan, a Juneau, and a Sitka. That is not administration's perspective whatsoever.
Neither is it the assembly's perspective.
Correct. But we do want to grow the economy where we have opportunities, and this is an opportunity that's in front of us, as you've seen with the ACL deal that we've been bringing to the table, and we'll be discussing more robustly here in the summer months. But we got energy projects. We have the opportunity to expand our seafood processing sector. We have a lot of housing for the healthcare sector that's up for debate at this moment in time, and a lot of federal and state money that'll be spent on big capital projects here in the coming. So you'll see more contractors in town and hopefully families. I talked to a lot of people about our Aldertop project. I mean, we're getting everybody from our state lobbyists to people that work at SEPA that work in Spokane, Washington, that want to potentially buy parcels. So a really good mix and diversity on people, a lot of people that have families that are thinking about coming here. And so don't listen to the folks that are saying that we're selling out the town, because we're not.
And this report will be available on our website.
It will be made available on our website, and I intend to release a newsletter within the next week that summarizes our work session with ACL, forecasts some of the work that's happening with the Aldertop project, and releases both the visitor industry report and then the local tourism sentiment. And then forthcoming is the broader economic impact study from Raincoast Data that basically gives you the larger view, not just the visitor industry sector. So that's a positive thing. And the last comment for me that's not visitor related, but just kind of queuing you up for the June 24th meeting, is working diligently on the planned unit development and speaking to search on a regular basis, including yesterday, providing them with an update of what that code provision will look like, what the site plan review process will be, and working towards getting that project off the ground alongside search. So very excited about that. There will be a new code that will administer that project and future developments like it, which is a good tool for Rengel to have in its pocket.
That is good. And then for the community, the borough has lots of property that could be sold. How would a citizen find a piece of property?
So the online parcel viewer is the number one way. I can easily export a table that has all the parcel numbers and ownership and sort that out so that I can send anyone who's interested in borough land a complete roster, and then you would just type in that parcel number on the platform and it'll pop up that location and you can learn more about it that way. So Kim and I are working together to update some of our internal resources that will go live on the website to give people a bit of a pathway. Yeah.
And more specifically, type in Rengel GIS, go to the map, click around. If it says City and Borough of Rengel on it, we own it. You can go to rengel.com to go to the planning department. And under the planning department, there'll be an application to purchase or lease borough real property or tidelands. You can fill it out and turn it into the clerk. We'll begin the process, of which the process is dictated on that website page. So
right,
and you'll have a tracker to know exactly where everything stands.
And you already do have a tracker, you just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And we have an example of a purchase on the agenda for tonight.
Yes, and so several more coming.
Yes, relatively painless.
I'd like to also thank Rob Luce for his work on the plan unit development code that he's been working through. He's got three priority items right now, about 15 items in total, but the WCA land sale, the plan unit development, and securing the Presbyterian Church property through a statutory warranty deed. That should be done by next week. So,
excellent. And that'll be on our June 24 meeting?
Correct. Well, the Presbyterian Church is done,
okay.
But the WCA land sale, yes.
Okay, great. Any questions, Assembly? And then we have a good report from the chief, our police chief. And that can will also be posted on our website. Do you have anything to say about that?
No, Madam Mayor, it's pretty inclusive of what it is. Okay. We have some other projects going on, but I tried to keep that at 2 pages.
Great.
I could go on for probably another 10, but that's kind of the Reader's Digest version.
All right. Thank you. I really like the students who participated in the hooligan reading fair, getting a ride in the police cars. Kind of envious of that. So, all right. Any other questions, Assembly? It's good manager's report. Borough clerk's report. Do you have anything?
Madam Mayor, nothing additional to add.
All right. And that's also will be posted on our website. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly business. Any business to report, Assembly? Assembly Member Powell?
I'd like to direct our city manager to get more information about the Marine Service Center, possible rate increases, to put include the Harbor Master and the Ports and Port Commission. Yes.
Okay.
And see where we're going to go with that.
Madam Mayor, through the Chair, Assemblymember Powell, for the rate structure, we're going to have to engage the Port Commission either once or more. They are kind of in recess in the summer months. They do have a pretty slammed ad hoc meeting in the month of June, where they'll be discussing a tideland sale and a couple other items, the ACL's proposal. So we certainly couldn't make that meeting, which I think is June 18th or June 19th. June 12th. Okay, that's in 2 days. So I would say that the best time frame to do that is probably going to be in the fall. Also, we hate to change rates like last minute. So if you guys are okay with fall time frame to discuss that, we can start preparing for it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it because we really don't know where that 5,000 cap is going to take us either. And I mean, okay. I think we just need to look at it, you know. So I just want to direct you to, you know, move forward with it.
Mr. Harbor Master, is that acceptable to you, fall time for discussion?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Assembly agrees? Okay. Any other Assembly business?
I got a request for the Assembly on some direction. You know, obviously we had a bigger cruise ship in today. I hear a lot of comments, a lot of good, a lot of, you know, not right. So good. The Borough Administration is not looking at changing the diversity in the cruise ships that we have now in 2027, but we will be talking about cruise ship scheduling here pretty soon. I want to get your guys' thoughts on, you know, what was the experience on some of these larger ships? Are you okay with having two of these a year overall, or is this a no-fly zone? I need some direction on it.
Yeah, you're talking about only having two of these large ships? To the chair, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mayor.
Yeah.
Are you talking about only having two of these ships for a year?
Well, that's all we have for above 2,300 passengers in a year, yeah.
And you want our direction? My direction is I'd like to see at least five or six of them a year.
Okay.
I mean, at least.
At least once a month.
At least once
a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see I was all over town today. I mean, I actually took the motorcycle and just drove around just to see what it was, you know, everybody around. I thought it was pretty, other than the ramp situation, it was, you know, not only see the picture of that, I thought everybody was pretty spread out and everybody was doing well. I went and had lunch at the store. I went over to Bob's just to get some water. I just wanted to see how it was affecting, and I thought everybody handled it pretty well myself. Every store I was in, there was people in there, and it was not like you couldn't go in there and buy something. It wasn't like it was so, you know, jam-packed that a local person couldn't go in there and do their shopping. At least I didn't see that.
Great.
So I thought the economy was pretty good.
Thank you, Assemblymember Powell.
And I also observed and had quite a few people call. Of course, there were the tourists that were walking in the middle of the street. And interestingly enough, they were actually walking towards my moving car. You know, and I thought, good gravy. But I waved at them and welcomed them to Wrangell. And they eventually got on the sidewalk. So there will always be that problem. I think people are, you know, just amazed at our community, and they don't really look where they're going, but Robbie.
I actually had some discussions with some cruise ship members, and I did want to let you guys know that they were interested in even purchasing properties here in Wrangell. They fell in love with, you know, kind of how our demeanor is, and we're very excited to hear that there were some older hotel properties for sale. They asked if there was a growth cap that we did have, and they were excited to hear that we don't have one. And so that's something that I believe the public should consider as well, is that, I mean, these could be, you know, your future neighbors, as much as some people don't want to hear it. I mean, growth is what we're really looking for, and I think that we should incentivize that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Well, Mayor, I think maybe you straightened out the few bad actors, because I've always expected that as the worst thing. And I drove around, it was in the afternoon after one. But I was quite surprised by the good pedestrian behavior. They were using crosswalks. They were standing there expecting or wondering if people would stop.
Right.
Very well behaved.
Yeah.
My experience.
Yeah, it was a constant trickle, not overwhelming. Assemblymember Mock?
Yeah, one thing I think we should look at is kind of the area between Ramey's and the laundromat there. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty tight squeeze right next to the Marine Service property. Almost everybody walks in the road.
That's where I had my encounter.
Yeah,
was on my way to the Marine.
Well, I very much empathize with your concerns. I live on Stikine Avenue, and it's probably the worst road in town to go home for lunch, because it takes about a 20-minute commute, maybe. So thank you for that. Yeah. We should probably walk. You're right.
And more signage. We truly need that. Yes, Assemblymember Otteson.
I think it was great. I got to spend the day in town. Had a day off. Didn't have to drive a boat full of people today. It was cool to see people, as much as I hate it, not on boats and actually out in the community and seeing more than just the river or glacier, and seeing people. So I went to Sweet Tides, and the line was out the door. So, you know, that's just one example of a business that did probably pretty well today.
Yeah. I had one funny encounter, not this ship, but the last big ship. I was working in the yard. My hair was a mess. I had mud on my face and everything. And tourists stopped by, and I talked to them, and they said, "We were so pleased we got a picture with the police chief." And I said, "Oh, great. Oh, they love the police chief." And then they said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm the mayor." But they didn't want a picture with me. So, I was a little offended. Anyway.
Well, thank you for the direction on that. Glad to have some support on 27 scheduling.
Yeah. I think we can certainly control it. All right, let's move along. Mayor and Assembly appointments, there are none. Public hearing, we have none tonight. Item 12, unfinished business. It is on page 102. Resolution number 06-25-1946 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the conveyance of public land for lots 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, and 9, block 49, for $316,800 plus required fees to Jayling Liu. And I need a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 06-25-1946 with provision of a 3-year time to build requiring an access agreement contingency.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Otteson. This is really good news.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think everybody's fairly familiar with this case. We had the public hearing on May 13th. No protests were received by the June 9th cutoff. I'm not sure. We have one participant on the line, but I did want to make sure that it wasn't Cheyenne Liu or Levi Miller. Do you guys happen to be on the line, or is that Brittany?
Brittany and DeBoard should be online.
We have one additional person.
Yeah, it's me, Levi Miller.
Okay, great.
Welcome.
Levi, just, you know, this is the final conveyance, and then you and I will get together on a purchase and sale agreement with the contingencies in the motion. Do you have anything to say regarding the proposal, any changes that you might consider? And, you know, in front of the assembly, it'd be good to hear, are we going to move forward with what the proposal really says? So I'll give the floor to you just real quick.
Yeah, I mean, not really at the moment, kind of like what we talked about the other day, which is kind of maybe getting down to the nitty-gritty of the actual sale agreement. But as far as what we've talked about, nothing really different.
Okay. Well, thanks, Levi. I just want to give you the opportunity, and wasn't sure if that was you. Six lots adjacent to the hospital. The appraisal came back at the same price it did when Mr. Wayne Johnson, as you some might recall, wanted to purchase these lots, $316,800. That'll be the price of the purchase and sale agreement's based off of. There is some flexibility in a purchase and sale agreement to incentivize the time to build. And so administration will work through that. I think it's a great opportunity to expand our housing solutions, couple that with Aldertop and the search plan unit development. I think will serve several different demographics of housing needs. So I'll stop there and let you guys discuss.
Another boon to our economic development plan. Any questions or comments? This is a very welcomed opportunity for Wrangell.
And I'd like to thank Cheyenne and Levi for their participation. They've been engaged with me, and I think they're going to be doing a great thing here in Wrangell, and I hope they move back full time.
Yes, yes. We have child care.
That'll help. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And we have great schools. So, all right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Hodson.
Yes.
Alrinkle.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoard.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Mott.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Under new business assembly, we're now at item 13D for the police chief, so we can go home at a decent hour. It's on page 140, approval of police department strategic safety plan. Someone needs to say, move to approve.
Move to approve a police department strategic safety plan.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple. All right.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes. I'll kick this over to Jean, but we'll keep it fairly brief. This is a comprehensive safety plan that we're putting together in anticipation of the Safe Streets for All grant application, and this is one of the prerequisites of that. I'll kick it over to Jean.
That's exactly what it is. It is a prerequisite for a grant that we're putting in. It's going to be somewhere in the ballpark of about $125,000. Just to put it in perspective for you, you heard all the GIS information that's being thrown out there.
Right.
This grant that we're going after will be an implementation of a computer-aided dispatch center, which will use all that data to speed up our dispatch system. It's supposed to be fully implemented into not just the police report writing system, but also fire and EMS, so that when a call comes in to the dispatch, they type it in. With AI being what it is these days, they can usually just voice recognize the call. It gets put into notes within this computer-aided dispatch system. The notes are automatically transferred with any other information like caller, phone numbers, address, anything that's going to be related to that call, and then that gets transferred into the appropriate report management system, whether it's us, fire, EMS. This is something that I have worked with since 2000. It's the next step in the growing process, and it also allows us to slowly implement computer-aided dispatch within the vehicles so that when we get a call for service, it's hard to explain how much time is lost in radio communications. Especially right now, if you're sent out to 8.8 miles, second driveway past that on the right, go down to Aunt May's house, take the right fork. If you get to the water, you went too far. Now repeat that from the call taker to the officer. Now that officer driving out there may have additional questions to the call. It slows everything down. whereas if it's voice recognized, the notes are automatically imported. The dispatcher can read them, verify the authenticity of it, push a button, and it gets pushed out not only to the radio, but also to smart devices. So late night car crash, we need fire department and EMS people to respond. You'll get a little radio notification, but before that even happens, with one push of a button, everybody that's on that call list will get a congratulations, we got a call out, and here's the call notes. So that's ultimately where we're going. That's what this grant's going to be used to implement.
And they'll get all that information on their cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be done. Now, we'll duplicate, because right. a lot of people aren't going to be used to that and put it over the radio also.
Right.
But how much faster is it just to pick up your phone at 4 a.m. and read what you need to do and go?
Yeah. And will this $125,000 grant buy the equipment to do that?
The equipment would be included. Most of it is going to be software and hardware. Or hardware. The computers will be, we already got the tablets in the cars.
Right.
Fire department already has tablets. EMS already has tablets. We may have to update a few of them. Most of it's going to be the software and the implementation of different patches between the software system coming in for CAD, for the report management system, and the patches that go to the different organizations. Sounds kind of complicated, but it's more the expense of getting training and getting these systems implemented in and get them working together.
And it'll coordinate with the radios. We bought new radios. Will it?
No, that's a little bit beyond that. Yes,
okay.
That's for the fireside. They've got the nice little radios, but this is going to be a system that speeds up call taking and call dispatching by using smart devices and tablets within the vehicles.
Yeah,
but it will create further redundancy with the radios, which is a great thing. And I do appreciate Gene for bringing some innovative thinking to the borough. It may not be innovative to down south, but this is a really good move in the right direction.
And I'm going to tell you now, it's based on we need the GIS system,
right,
so that we can put that into our computer-aided dispatch, because without it, we're right back to, go up Snob Hill to the Blue House, hang a right, at the fork in the road, go left. I mean, that's where we're at now.
Yeah.
Look for old Mrs. Schultz's house.
Right.
I don't know where that's at.
Yeah. I mean, I've experienced it where I had to tell them, where I was. And they many years ago, and I finally had to say, it's the Schultz house. Oh, I know exactly where you are. Yeah.
But just for perspective, this is the comprehensive plan that's required by the federal government to apply for this grant.
Okay.
I tried to keep it as generic as possible.
Well, and you have kid safety issues, that's very appropriate, and public engagement, so this is a very good thing.
Thank you, Gene.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any questions? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Yeah, I want to add, it's really comprehensive. I think it's really good where we're going. The question, what's Vision Zero?
Vision Zero is having zero traffic fatalities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good thing to have. And then I really appreciate, this is, I think, more in long-term strategies and projects, but the improving the, I guess you would call it pedestrian safety, maybe bike safety, into the roadways and the sidewalks and the parking, in my mind, the parking visibility. I'm not saying this right, the intersection visibility with parking, all these things I think will be worked on into the future, which
mm-hmm.
is good.
Mm-hmm.
All things that I see as kind of problems that we can do better at.
Yeah, we're addressing the problems as we see them crop up. This is good.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I can't. Yeah, very good. All right, any other questions? Okay, let's approve this. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
Board.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Mott.
Yes.
Oz.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. All right, Assembly, we're back to 13A. Thank you, Chief. It's on page 114. Resolution number 06-25-1947 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the refund of overpayment of Tidelands lease rent payments to John Augustine due to a manifest error in the amount of $4,413.07.
Move to approve resolution number 06-25-1947.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Addison. We have done this before on property tax.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be brief on this. Yeah. There was a preliminary plat back in 2004 that reduced the scope of the tidelands that were being leased. And so the square footage was less at that time. And so we were charging them for the square footage at a greater value prior to the adjustment. So it's the only the right thing to do to refund it over time. Mr. Augustine is also in the process of requesting to purchase those very tidelands. So it's very possible we might just net that against the property sale. It'll be up to him, and we've talked about that today. So not much more than that.
Okay. Any questions, comments, Assembly? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Mott.
Yes.
Addison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Maryville.
Yes. Item B, page 118, Assembly. Resolution number 06-25-1948 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the borough to issue general obligation bonds to finance the major renovation of the public safety building and other related capital improvements, fixing certain details of such bonds and authorizing their sale.
Move to approve resolution number 06-25-1948.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Mock. And Borough Manager, explanation, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Probably the biggest item on tonight's agenda in terms of impact to the community. This is issuance of the voter-approved public safety building general obligation bonds. We have already submitted our application to the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, which you guys see is abbreviated as AMBA. We do not issue bonds independently to the primary market. We're too small for that, but we do issue through the bond bank, as is consistent with all the other smaller rural communities. This agenda statement in the packet is a little bit dated because, as I said in my manager's report, we did have some new news going forward that there may be additional funding opportunities through Senator Murkowski with the $6.5 million proposal moving forward in the RD subcommittee. And overall, we have two cost estimates built out right now, one for roof and siding alone, and then one for roof and siding plus mechanical systems as well as the fire alarm system. Now, if we get all this federal money, the beauty is, say we get all $9 million, which I think might still be a long shot. We'll probably see a reduction in some of that funding. That $3 million general obligation bond issuance will still serve as a complete match towards what is usually a 25% match obligation or requirement. So that's a great thing to have, but we will be leveraging those funds to a further degree, which is great. Overall, issuance terms are no more than 21 years, 20-year term generally. That's pretty consistent with our AMBA terms in the past. And you guys are authorizing tonight, if you approve this, to not exceed a 5.5% true interest cost, which we don't think will be in that rate environment. Last issuance that I'm aware of was between 4.25 up to 4.75 depending on the type of bond, but 4.25 for a non-taxable GO bond was the latest issuance I'm aware of. So I think we can expect those kind of rate expectations. In terms of timeline, application, the board will review, the AMBA board will review the proposals in August. From August, the committee will approve proposals. This hopefully, I would assume, would get approved. And then the late fall or early winter, we will see the bond proceeds issued and returned to the borough. And at which time, we'll hopefully know our CDS fate and CPF fate. And we're going to move forward with construction in 26 regardless.
Okay. And this was approved by the voters in October of 24?
Correct.
2024. And the reason we are going for them now is because we were waiting for federal dollars to help us along with the project. And we're going to go for engineering designs on our own dime.
Correct. If we want to get the project started in 2026 in the summer, we need to do it now, and that would be my recommendation. I think the opportunity cost of not doing it in the summer of 26 could result in damage and water damage of that or more. And there's a lot of critical activities housed in that building.
Right. And we've had a ton of engineering reports on that building, so they shouldn't have to go through too much research, especially if we get the same firm.
We will work with Northwind Architects, who is working on that. The reality is we will pursue design for the pitched roof. That's got to be able to be supported on the existing building. So there'll be,
some structure.
Consideration to that in the design process. And then we'll look at materials for siding. There could be an excessive amount of rot on the building that we didn't quantify, but we have a pretty high placeholder value in there for that. So metal siding, metal pitched roof, and we can get rid of that ugly looking building.
Yeah. And when the voters ratified this, I reread the voter pamphlet. We did assure the voters that we would try our utmost to fund the bond repayment through our general fund and not increase property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have a provision in there that said if worse comes to worse, we may have to go that route.
Yep. Then the full faith and credit of the borough is pledged by and secured by tax dollars for a project like this in a worst case scenario. But the return on this investment for the taxpayer is you continue to have a police department, a volunteer fire department, a borders and customs,
a jail, a court,
and we've had other services performed in that, and it's super critical. We've entertained repurposing the old hospital. We've entertained building a new, and they're just not financially feasible, nor are they probably financially prudent. So this is the best way to move forward, and let's get it done.
Yep, I agree. Any questions, comments, Assembly? Okay, this has been a long time coming, so I'm glad we're moving forward on this. Okay, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember DeBorda.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Hodgson.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Item C, page 137, resolution number 06-25-1949 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY25 budget in the Port Fund by transferring $25,000 from the fund reserves to professional services account and authorizing its expenditures for the waterfront feasibility and cost development.
Move to approve resolution number 06-25-1949.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Mock, second by Otteson. And we talked about this
in your
report.
Madam Mayor, I'll be brief. And if Steve has anything to add, Harbor Master Miller. essentially, we are tasking P&D Engineering to do some cost estimates and conceptual and feasibility of some of our waterfront development prospects as it relates to the ACL deal that's in the making. We also have, I think, a good compromise and trajectory with the barge lines that we're working on, and that's going to be synergetic with this, but we did want to get a cost estimate. This is essential work to be done because we really need to know if this is a possibility in terms of cost and how we might split that with ACL and with AML and Samson. So this gives us the tools to make good decisions and get to the negotiating table.
And there's nothing different than what was discussed at the town meeting that we had recently with ACL?
Nope, still tracking.
Still the fill and the...
Still the fill.
Okay. All right. Any comments or questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Member Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Honest?
Yes.
Valorable?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor
Gilbert. Yes. Item E, page 147, approval of a contract award to Pool Engineering Incorporated in the amount of $775,500 $500 for the Myers Chuck Harbor Float Installation Project.
Move to approve a contract award to Pool Engineering Incorporated in the amount of $775,500 for the Myers Chuck Harbor Flotation Installation Project.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Otteson. This came in under our...
Significantly under yes. Engineer's estimate. So another really big item for us, the float procurement for Myers Chuck, an installation project. The $775,000 against expectations of $1.4 million. That's a huge, huge positive for us. And we've seen that in the bidding environment when there's healthy competition. Solid Waste Transfer Station was bid quite a bit under. I think you'll see that in the St. Michael's project. There's going to be a number of people that they attended the plan, the pre-bid meeting. So hopefully that's a theme that we continue to see. But that sets us up really well. Just a reminder, we have about $1.1 million in state harbor matching funds that are funding this project. So the state splits 50-50 on an invoice level of each of these contracts. And so you'll see half of that, $775,000. Funded by the borough, half of that funded by the state, and it's nice to have that in the bag right now because the state harbor matching program did not get funded in the next year. So ongoing projects are still funded, but there's no opportunities that I'm aware of, and that I think the Harbor Master Miller are aware of at this point. So glad to see that the people of Myers Chuck can look forward to a dock coming sooner.
Yes, and then that's another task for the Port Commission to try to gather the revenues from this new float system at Myers Chuck. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I have faith that they will come up with a plan. Any comments or questions, Assembly? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Mott?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Honorable?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Miller?
Yes. Item F, approval of change order number 14 to McGee Constructors Incorporated in the amount of $78,219.41 for the water treatment plant improvement project.
Move to approve a change order number 14 of McGee Constructors Incorporated in the amount of $78,219.41 for the water treatment plant improvement project.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Mock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I won't dive into this. A bit of a housekeeping item. I want to assure the Assembly that we have ample funds to complete this project. So these change orders are really just kind of housekeeping items for micro adjustments to the need for new pumps and sampling equipment and Ethernet cables for the dosing and chemical injection pumps. There's a lot of technical specifications to track up there, and so we're continuing to adjust and tweak where we need to. You'll see larger change orders as it relates to some of the CDS-funded portions of the project, potentially. So be on the lookout for those. But we did get the extension of our grant funds for USDA and EDA, respectively, our two largest federal funding partners, aside from the portion that's relevant to the State Revolving Fund, but to the end of the year, December, so we can be pretty strategic in how we use the remaining funds of those pledged.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Just one question. Is the abandoned tank that's going to be removed, is that a water tank or is it a buried tank?
I couldn't tell you for sure. Assemblymember Dalrymple, I can get an answer for you, though.
It's not that important. I just get nervous when I hear we keep having abandoned tanks that we have to deal with. But that's just a statement across the board. Yeah. Hopefully it has no fuel
right.
or hazardous implications at all.
I'm not aware of any. I would assume I would have been communicated that. I would guarantee that. So.
Right. I thought it was that one with the outflow. Remember it was buried?
Went somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right yeah. In front of the plant almost. So. Okay, any other comments or questions?
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor. That was the Bloom Trailer Court tank. It was rather large. I don't know if some of you assembly members had saw that taking place. That's where our discharge
backwash line runs back to the wastewater treatment plant, impeding construction activities.
Right.
It was, to my knowledge, a fuel storage tank back in the day, but there's been no environmental implications that I'm aware of. So apologies for...
Okay. It's not the one I'm thinking of then.
No, it's right here at Bloom's.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's in a way and it will... needs to be removed.
It already, we've already done the activity. Okay. But
wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly member Ellison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoren.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to request to suspend the rules for just something real quick.
Sure. Assembly approve? Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say, Assembly Member DeBoard, we're thinking of you and your family down there. I know you've been public with what's going on, but definitely thinking of you and your wife and little Ray down there, and I hope you know we're all here for you.
Thank you guys for that. Hopefully we'll be home this weekend, depending on the surgical schedule. So, thank you.
Great to hear.
Great, awesome. Great. And we put off a public... town hall meeting that was scheduled for tomorrow, Wednesday, June 11, to our workshop and before our assembly meeting, June 24, and we'll give the public plenty of time to participate in that workshop concerning the micro mobility issue. But we were going to have three assembly members at least miss that meeting tomorrow.
And Madam Mayor, I've seen a lot of public comment on that on Facebook, and I've kind of got texts about it. So from our lens, there's not a huge difference in what a town hall and a work session really are. It's kind of semantics. We've never had a work session where we don't let people comment. A lot of times we extend work sessions till an hour past in some cases.
Yes.
And so we will not preclude any public comment as it relates to the micromobility devices. And it really is a town hall, a work session, whatever you want to call it. It'll give an opportunity for the public to speak with their minds on the issue and for us to discuss a path forward. And there will be two alternatives brought from the ordinance that was initially presented.
Thank you for that. All right. We have attorney's file is available in the borough clerk's office. Item 15, executive session, review of borough manager's tasks.
Move pursuant to 44.62.310(c)(2) that recess into an executive session, invite the borough manager into the session to discuss matters that may prejudice the reputation and character of any person specifically review of borough manager's task.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Odison. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly member Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Odison.
Yes.
And Mayor
Gilbert. Yes. It's 8:17. We will recess into executive session. Do you need a break, anyone?
Yes, please.
5-minute break. Okay.
Thanks, guys. And thanks for sticking around.
And DeBoard and...
I don't know if I've met you yet.
No, you haven't.
Okay. What was your name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, nice to meet you. You with Assembly?
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
You know everybody at Assembly now?
No.
Okay.
Larry did a real whirlwind introduction. Yeah.
Vice Mayor Dave Powell.
You know Jonathan?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. And Bob Dalrymple. Philip Mock.
Nice to meet you, Don.
And Mike Odison.
Okay. Nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thomas, yeah, she's actually right here in this office. She's not here right now, but
Robin.
Yeah, and
it's full. It'll bounce out. We got Mason's computer.